like to think I'm reasonably versatile, but our first guest in this hour puts me to shame. She is a motivational speaker, author, comedian, spokesperson, TV host, voiceover artist. You name it, she's done it. And not just my opinion, it's the Guinness Book of World Records verifying this. She is the fastest talking woman in the world. We're pleased to be joined here on Downtown by Fran Capo. Fran, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me. And you know what? And it's funny because I'll make sure that I don't talk fast the whole entire time. Otherwise, people are going to be, that 20-minute interview was 1 minute long. Yeah.
Well, and I would have to talk almost as fast as you to get in all of your accomplishments and the many things you've done in your career. Let's start, though, with the fast talking. When did you first realize you had that skill?
Well, you know, what happened was I was working at a radio station, WBLS-FM in New York City, and I was writing comedy for them. And then kidding around one day, I said, you know what, I could do this really cool Mae West impression, but I call the character Junice, Mae West's long-lost sister. So all of a sudden, the DJ throws the weather and traffic copy at me. I look, the red tally light comes on. All of a sudden, I start going, ooh, today the weather and traffic is. And in the 30 seconds I happened to do it, a lady from the Daily News was listening. And she called the station and said, oh, I'm doing a story on weather and traffic, people. How long you been doing it? So I didn't want to tell her 30 seconds. You know, so I said, hey, I've been doing it a while. She said, well, what are you planning on doing next? I didn't have a next, but I had a lady from the Daily News. So I said, oh, I'm thinking of breaking a world record. And she's like, for what? And I said, well, I can't tell you to jinx it. She said, listen, you want to tell me? She said, my article goes in at 6 o'clock today. Give me a call. So I ran out, bought a Guinness book, started looking through it, saw fast talking, knew that people always told me that I talk fast. 5 to 6, I call her. And I said, listen, I'm thinking of breaking the world record for fast talking. She's like, what is the record at? I said, the record's at 552 words a minute. And she said, well, what are you at? I went, 550. I said, those last two words of a killer. Printed it. I know, right? I was making this whole stuff up. She printed in the paper, and the very next day, the Larry King Live people call me up and to ask me to go on the show and break the record. And to be honest with you, I didn't know who Larry King was. All I heard was cable, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, is this some kind of porn? They're like, honey, no. This is a national show. I said, what if I don't break the record? She goes, Larry doesn't care whether you break the record or not. He just cares that you try it on the show. I called up Dennis, said, what do you have to do? They said, Shakespeare, the Bible. Me and Shakespeare never got along. Had a prayer from the Bible. Went on his show, broke the record at that time, doing 585 words a minute. And then I rebroke it at the Guinness Museum in Vegas, doing 603.32 words a minute, which comes out to 11 words a second.
That is incredible. The story's perhaps more incredible than ripping off 603.32 words per minute, but that is pretty amazing. Now, I used to be able to talk pretty fast. I may have lost a step with age. I was talking about this the other day, that I would sometimes get calls to do voiceover work if someone had written too much copy and they needed something to be intelligible. Yeah, 40 seconds of copy in 29 and a half seconds, but that's nothing. I'm in the breakdown lane compared to what you're able to do. Can you give us...
The thing is, when you said about this story, I mean, that's the thing. And this is what... I have a show called Love, Laughter, and Light. It's a one-woman show that mixes my stand-up comedy, my motivational speaking, and my stories of daring adventures. And which I talk, because I hold 6 world records. The fast-talking is only one of them. I've done a book signing at the top of Kilimanjaro, did a book signing down by the wreck site of the Titanic, have gone with 21,545 patients with 28 chiropractors in one over a 2-day period. When I get something in my mind, I've learned to have a world record mindset. And what I do is I teach corporations, and I do it also for the general public and for schools and colleges, teaching people how to have that mindset that once you decide to do something, you do it. And it is crazy stories like this that I tell, because my whole life is filled with stories like this.
We're talking to Fran Capo here on Downtown. I'm going to ask you to demonstrate some of this speed in a little bit, but I want to talk about one of your books. You've written 21 of them along the way, Hopeville, The City of Light. talks about the 44 principles to success. Could you share a couple of those with us?
Absolutely. That book was actually, it's different. I just will say this. The other books that I wrote, I all consciously wrote. This book was channeled to me. So, and normally I didn't even know what channeling was at the time that it was happening. And so I pulled the lessons out because it's a story of four people, a little boy who's getting bullied, a widowed mother who, is holding down three jobs, a successful businessman who gave up, having love in his life, and an old man, and they're very angel. She tells them how to transform their lives. They don't think they have the ability. So in it, she talks about controlling their inner life by their thoughts, bringing joy to others, increases their light, that people do business with people that they trust, speaking from your heart, don't let others douse your flame, learn how to be your own best cheerleader, laughter makes your life brighter. And, so it goes through all these different things, how attitude is everything. Now's the time to start. People get worried. Oh, no, I can't do it now. I can't do it now. When you think of it, that is the time to start getting rid of the junk in your life to make room for the new to begin. It's just like if you have a full glass of water and you say, well, I really should be drinking, whatever. You have a full glass of soda and someone says you really should drink water, but there's no room in your cup because you have the junk in there. And so it's talking about how to get rid of it teaches you in the book how to get rid of the junk to make room for the other things in your life that will make you more successful, surrounding yourself by, successful people. You wind up feeding off each other than if you always have these negative energy vampires in it. How not to run from bullies, because there will always be bullies, whether it's at the workplace, in the school ground, wherever it is. And so it goes through, how to forgive your friends if they're sincere and not hold on to grudges. So it goes through the 44 things in life that make your life simpler, but it does it through the story of Hopeville, so it's in parable form. Because I find that when I speak to people, if I'm just saying, climb that mountain, anybody can climb a mountain, and you don't do it, that's why I climbed Kilimanjaro. I get a book signing at the top of Kilimanjaro so I can say, hey, if I did it, you could do it. I'm just a girl from Queens. I could do it. You could do it. And everything is based on the if I could do it, you could do it. Nothing's impossible. And so, but I teach everything through story form.
Do you wake up every day and say, all right, I've got a plan, I've got a list, here's what I'm going to do? Do you seek out these adventures, or are you at the point now where some of them come to you?
Well, basically, to answer your first question, when I get up in the morning, everybody has their own ritual. I actually always start the day listening to a motivational, either something on YouTube or to say today is a good day. No matter what happens, I am in control of my attitude. I may get caught in traffic, something bad could happen, but it depends on my attitude. So I start my day with that kind of attitude, and then I meditate. I have a list of things that I have to do each day. And when I do that list of things that I have to do each day, I don't make the list so extensive that I can't feel that I've accomplished it. So I keep the list short, like 5 things I have to do today to be a success. That's actually how I think of it. And so then I'll say, okay, so today, today, I just have to write this one article. I'm going to do the radio show. And then after, I'm going to contact someone who had called me about doing a speaking engagement. And I'll say, that's all the 3 things I have to do today. And then so then each day I can feel accomplished. And the next day, what do I need to do to get to that goal? So you do it in little chunks so that it doesn't seem overwhelming. Because if somebody says, how do you write a book? And you go, oh, my God, that book's 500 pages. Well, I didn't write 500 pages in one sitting. I wrote one page at a time. And so it's just breaking it down. Opportunities, as far as I bungee cord jumped, scuba dive with sharks, flown combat aircraft, driven race cars, eaten fire. It's like if I just see something and I go, wow, that person climbed Kilimanjaro, I can climb Kilimanjaro. Of course, when I had seen that originally, I didn't realize that someone told me an 83-year-old woman climbed Kilimanjaro. And I'm like, well, if an 83-year-old woman could do it, I could do it. I didn't realize she was in a wheelchair and got airlifted up there. I'm like, okay, well, that's different. But, so it's like I have to, but once I get something in my mind, I have what I call like this click factor. Like I see it, I'm like, I'll go into the library and I'll go, well, if all these thousands of people wrote a book, I can write a book. If that guy ran a marathon. I can run a marathon. Of course, while I'm running the marathon and I see people passing me in crutches, I'm like going, all right, well, maybe I'm not going to be the fastest at the marathon. I just said I would run it, didn't say I would win it, you know? And so it's just challenging yourself and not caring. You know, you fall down 7 times, as long as you get up 8, you're good. And so it's just like, you know, people, oh, you get on stage, what if it doesn't work? So what? Doesn't work. I'll go up a different night and do something else. People are so scared of failing that they stop themselves from doing something. And I'm like, why? Who cares what the other person thinks? Just try it. And just the only challenge you need to have is against yourself, not against somebody else. You know, just run your fastest race. You know, you don't have to be in somebody else's lane. So that's kind of the principles of how I do it. Now, I just got married, and I said to my husband, I have the perfect honeymoon. And he's like, what? I go, I want to rappel down a volcano in Iceland. Well, needless to say, it's been a year, and we have not gone on that honeymoon. So he's like, I go, all right, maybe I'll make it a little less intense for you, you know, so that we can do it.
Well, there is failure and that fear. Then there's the fear of bodily harm as well. What tempted you, what drew you to try and apparently, obviously successfully eat fire?
Well, because I saw other people do it and nobody got hurt. Their tongues weren't on fire or anything like that. So I figured, okay, there's got to be a principle to this. So always when I want to do something, you know, like I say, I do calculated risk. So I went up to the person that was eating fire. I go, okay, how do they even eat this fire and you're not getting burned? And he goes, well, fire needs oxygen. If there's a certain way that you put the thing that's dipped in kerosene, you put it in your mouth, and as soon as you close over, and I'm not suggesting anybody do this at home unless they have somebody that is, you know, that's trained them. But it, honestly, the training was all of 1.5 minutes. The guy told me what I needed to do. He stood with me, and he said, you know, when you put the flame in your mouth, and it was a huge flame. I don't know if you got the pictures that, okay, so it was a huge flame. You see, it's not a small little flame. You put it in your mouth, but the second you close it over, there's no oxygen. So the fire goes out automatically. But what people are thinking is, like, when it goes in, oh, my God, it's going to burn. But it literally goes out right away. So, but the thing is, you get the fear of, oh, my God, I'm going to stick this gigantic fireball in my mouth. How on earth is that going to be possible? But when they show you how to do it, it's just like anything. You know, if you don't know how to fly a plane, you're like, oh, my gosh, how do you fly the plane? How do you know all these controls? Until somebody says, well, this is for this, this is for this, this is for this. And then all of a sudden, when you break it down, you learn how to do it. And that's what, when I tell the adventure stories in my Love, Laughter, and Light talk, the ones that I do for corporations all around the world, when I do that talk, I tell the story, and then I tell them how I was able to accomplish that. So they, when people originally, and I still want people to go, wow, that's cool. But when they originally hear it, they're like, but how did you come, you know, how did you hold that snake? Aren't you scared of a snake? And I go, well, the guy showed me the way to hold it so I wouldn't get bit, you know? And when you just realize there are ways to do things, you know, then it doesn't become so scary.
I would think having a gun held to your stomach might be scary. You've been at gunpoint twice and lived to tell the
three
tale.
Three times, actually.
Three times, dear God.
And it was funny because with that, well, when I say funny, now it's funny, but the very first time, well, forget the first time. The second time is the time that was interesting. Not that the first time, but the second time was I was working at a coffee shop when I had just gotten out of college. And so I'm working at this coffee shop, and it's on Queens Boulevard, which is a major street. There is like 6 lanes of traffic. And so I see these two guys. It's between 5 and 6. The shop closes at 6. The owner went home at 5 o'clock. So I was by myself between 5 and 6. So I'm in this building, you know, that's got the little coffee shop in the front. I see these two guys running across the street, like so excited. You know, they actually knock over a kid on a bicycle. I'm like, boy, these guys really want to get to the shop. They come in and they say, hey, do you have some business cards? So I was like, yeah, turn to get the business cards for them to show them. I turn around. There's two guns, one to my face, one, you know, to my chest because I was behind the counter. So the guy goes, open up the drawer. Give me all the money. I open the drawer. There's $20 in there. So he goes, $20. So I go, it's 5 cents a copy. And he goes, but only $20. I go, it's 5 cents a copy. You should have went to a bank. And he goes, you realize they have a gun to your stomach? I said, I know, but there's nothing I can do. It's only 5 cents a copy. So in my head, because I'm always like thinking, I knew my pocketbook was by my foot underneath the counter, and I didn't want him to grab it because I didn't want him to get the wallet, you know, with my address. So I'm trying to push the wallet under, but not let him realize I'm pushing it under. So I start playing around with my necklace. He realizes it's gold. He goes to grab the necklace. I smack his hand. He goes, are you crazy? And I'm like, well, listen, you're not going to get good street value off of that. So the guy's like so incredulous, like yeah, I'm smacking his hand, I'm talking back. So finally, he realizes he's not going to get anything. He goes, go in the back room, count to 100. If you come back out before 100, I'm going to shoot you. And I'm thinking, I'm the world's fastest talker. Count to 100 really quick. So I go in the back room, and I'm thinking, well, don't get, you know he's running away. So instead, I was in the back room. I called 911. Police came. Police say, hey, how come you're not crying? I said, because I'm alive. And he goes, yeah, but most people that would have had two guns to their, you know, face and their stomach would have been crying. I said, well, I try not to get upset about something that could have happened and only worry about the things that actually did happen. And since I'm not dead, I'm good. And that's also the philosophy I try to teach people. People are, oh, my God, I could have been killed. Yeah, but you're not. But I could have been. But you're not.
Fran, not
so
that.
Like kind of the way that I look at things.
Not that this has been a snail's pace so far, but would you be able to give us a little sample of your world's record-holding skill?
Absolutely. So I do this thing at the end of my stand-up and at the end of my love, laughter, and life talk called Evelyn Wood Reading Her Kids a Bedtime Story. It goes like this. Okay, kids, Mommy's going to read you The Three Little Pigs. Once upon a time, there's three little pigs. One little pig likes to sing, the second little pig likes to dance, the third little pig likes to sit and dig. Then a big buff came along.
Fran, I am simultaneously exhausted and inspired to get up and challenge myself tomorrow. Hey, you're awesome. Thank you so much for being with us. People should go to your website for more information, listen to the podcast, Fran's World, as well, and get everything right. You've ever done.
Yes, if they go to Fran, F-R-A-N, Capo, C-A-P-O, like head of the mob, FranCapo.com, they can hear all that stuff. They can look at my book. They can have me come to their college and speak, whatever they like. And tell them to say that I was on your show, because then that would be cool. Then I can let you know, hey, your listeners, click to FranCapo.com.
Fantastic. Fran, thank you so much for making time for us. Continue your adventurous life and hope to talk with you again soon.
Thank you so much for having me on. Create a good day.
Fran Capo with us here on Downtown.